For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. I'm Tim Fuel, still in caretaker charge of the greatest show in football. Thankfully, I do have some help at hand this week. Whilst Dave Anderson is off shouting for his Northern Ireland compatriots, Swampy joins me by the power of the internet, linking north with south. Good evening, Swampy.
Good evening, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, it's Thursday again already.
I know, it just flies by, doesn't it? Football every day of the week. There's always something to do in the old non-league world, and we are here again to discuss all the finer points of the non-league game.
It's been quite a quiet week, though, in non-league. There's obviously some unrest at Dulwich between the club and the landowners, and they were all working hand in hand together, and it seemed to be going great guns. But, you know, as ever, maybe appearances can be a bit deceptive. So there seems to be various statements coming from different parts of the club in recent days, and we're looking at that, speaking to both sets, and hopefully we can get them, maybe even both of them, on next week and see what's what, and see, hopefully. There's various bits saying that it might be the demise of the club, others saying that they're all rallying together and everything's going to be fine. But it's you never know what's going on under the cover, do you, at a non-league ground?
No, that's the problem. We saw only a few weeks ago that it was Skelmersdale United. They knew they were leaving their ground, and the landowner there, or the owner of the ground, had given him a certain amount of time, and that time actually was up before they even realised it, and they had to, I think, play the last two or three games at Marine, which is, you know, again, the football and family coming together. I'm always sceptical when football clubs fall out with landowners, because basically landowners, at the end of the day, own they still have the bricks and mortar and the turf, and I think sometimes you've got to tread a very careful path, because the story of this football club is a great, great story, and let's hope they can come to a sensible agreement, because it's going to be for the benefit of the community, benefit of the football club, and in the long run, to be honest, for me, the benefit in for the landowners, unless they want to convert the area if it's prime real estate. As we now know, a lot of football clubs have lost their ground and it's been turned into great housing stock, but for gentrification more than anything else. But let's hope sensibility prevails and we can have both of them on the next couple of weeks, both talking positively about moving forward.
Well, that's what we'd like to see. There's always two sides, where it's normally about three or four sides of stories, but I normally tend to find out. But yeah, what we want to try and do is understand both stories. So we'll try and get them both on and see where they're going forward. What about your own club? Any news on that FC United job? Was Mr. Greaves doing a very good job already?
Well, three games in, two league games, one positive in his debut game against Nuneaton, a 2-1 victory for FC United of Manchester. And then a big test against Stockport County at Edgeley Park, and a 4-0, well, 4-1 drubbing. However, the second half was very, very positive. I think Tom learned a lot from that. And what was very, very nice, and there's been a few sour words said by the Stockport County manager over the last 35 to 50 days in regards to FC United of Manchester. And Jim himself has rectified that, in all fairness, because he was very derogatory. He accused the club of, while they were basking in the glory of beating them 2-0 in the FA Cup, they won't be happy when they get relegated. But I think, in reality, I think he realised the error of his ways, to be honest. He's an open and honest manager, don't get me wrong, and I really admire him for that reason. And he came out this weekend and in his post-match interview said that Tom Greaves had been doing a fantastic job. You can see FC staying up this season. So I think he realised maybe the error of his ways. And as far as Tom's concerned, we had a cup game, which were the Manchester Premier Cup, which FC are the holders of, beating Celebridge Celtic last season at Boundary Park. And we went to Salford City, a much changed Salford City team, but about four or five first team players together with a mix of youthful players in there. And Salford City were the better team in the first half, but FC United in the second half came out with three or four very young players themselves who haven't figured in the team this season. I think primarily because Carl hasn't really fancied them or didn't fancy them. And we went on and won 3-0. So his time as caretaker manager is a positive one. I can't see him getting the job, in fairness, because I don't think he has the criteria at this moment in time, but he'll certainly be a positive influence on the next manager. And as far as manager concerned, you know, it would be very remiss of me to even suggest anybody that's in the frame. At this moment in time, it would be unfair to those individuals, and also equally, it would be unfair to reveal if I've got fantastic sources and know everybody that's actually in the frame. So I'm not going to do either.
You sound like you're suggesting you're not going to get the job.
Well, I reel myself out very early on. I think my influence within the football club lies within the radio, and I enjoy doing the commentary and talking to the players and the manager, the old manager, the new manager going forward. It's interesting times. I do know we had about 50 applicants for the job. And in that respect, it just shows that FC United are still a well thought of club. And whoever comes in is going to have a tough time. We're second bottom of the division. Big game against Telford on Saturday, who beat us in the FA Cup first round, who then went on and got beat against Hereford in the last game, which was great for Hereford and a local derby down there with a big crowd. But I think from a football club perspective, as FC United, we just need to just have a look at where we are, move forward with positivity, and the new manager will get all the help he can from the radio, from the players and from everybody else within there. But at the moment, at this point in time, I would suggest maybe within the next week or week and a half, 2 weeks at the very, very, at the very most, we'll have a new manager in place. And I think that manager will be a name, I would suggest, probably that people will know of at least. It won't be an unknown, because I think the job is a little bit too big for an unknown. But Tom, you know, if Tom was given the job today, I wouldn't be dissatisfied with that. I think he's done a very good job and he's worked hard.
He's had a better season as a manager than he was having as a player, really, wasn't it, FC United? But
yeah.
But they couldn't give the job to Swampy because that we'd end up kicking off at 3:15 every week because the man's a great talker. But talking,
good point well made.
talking of clubs that maybe gone through difficult seasons. We begin this week with a look ahead to the FA Trophy. It's second round qualifying this weekend. 36 ties offering £4,000 in prize money to each winning side. Altrincham skipper Jake Malt. Hopefully he's on the line to tell us how he's preparing for the trophy game. Good evening, Jake.
Hi there.
Now, I say you're preparing. I understand you're not able to prepare because you couldn't make it the training this evening.
No, unable to make it. The traffic's there's been a smash on the M6, so it happens quite often, but this time I think it's quite bad, so I'm not able to make it now.
So you're limbering up in the car talking to us then, instead of having to run around a cold field?
Yeah, something like that. I'm actually serving a ban at the minute as well, so I aren't at eligible to play Saturday, so I've got to sit that one out for my last game of my ban. So I'm not ready to play until the week after.
Have you been tasked with some scouting duties then?
Yeah, of course. We have majority of our games watched anyway. The gaffer and the assistant swords, they have a lot of information on other teams, so they'll watch them over the season, and then they'll go and watch them close to when we're going to play them. So in terms of obviously having the information on teams, we'll certainly have that.
So you mentioned the gaffer. He's a bit of a sports psychologist, isn't he, on the side, or maybe in his daytime? Has that changed the way that...
That's his background work-wise. He works as a lecturer in college, so... He's very hot on with the sports psychology side of things. We do a lot of testing. We have people in to do a lot of statistics. So each game, especially home games, are gauged. So ball retention, pass completion, all the individuals, all these kind of things. So in terms of being professional at this kind of level is. It's something that probably not many clubs get, and we're very, very, very lucky to have it. He's got a good team around him, and he utilises it really well. And the lads have obviously brought it through it, and so far it's working. So long may it continue.
And so obviously you've been at the club longer than him. Have you noticed a massive difference with the success that you're having at the moment? After a few seasons of relegations and near relegations and that sort of thing, is there a much better vibe around the club at the moment?
Well, yeah, certainly we're winning football games, which helps, doesn't it? So that certainly helps. I mean, I'm into my sixth season now, so I've been there a little while, and my first 3 years was nothing but fighting at the top end of the table. So we got outed and we missed out on the playoffs. So it was all positive. Obviously, the last 2 years have been well documented, and a lot of people have seen, obviously, with the successive relegations, it's been tough. There's no getting away from it, really. It's been tough individually and collectively as a football club. But there's no way of turning it round, really. As the gaffer's come in and he's worked really hard. It's not just what happens on the Saturday and the Tuesday night games. There's a lot that goes into the background of the football club, like I say, with all the testing. He's got a great team behind him, and we're managing to turn the corner, and it's obviously it's great to be sat where we're sat right now.
Yeah, Jake, good evening. Swampy from FC United Radio here. I've been down on a few occasions this season already to watch Altrincham, and the transformation, you'll know more than anyone, because obviously you've been with the club for 6 years, has been quite dramatic this season. An early start of the season, you didn't look like... everyone, we included it, on another radio show I do, put you as favourites, and thought that as a football club, that with Parky in, and watching it last season at Nantwich, as I did on many occasions, the quality of football would shine through. But you had a bit of a nervy start, didn't you? But you soon picked up. You're now, played 19 games, 38 points. I know you're not playing Shaw Lane this weekend. It's Ramsbottom, which will be a tough, tough test. But Shaw Lane, with those only 4 points behind you and only 16 games, and you play them in December, they're the team really at the moment. You maybe are you looking over your shoulder at them, or are you just continuing to play the Altrincham way or the Parky way?
Yeah, well, talking of Parky to start with, I can't speak of him highly enough. He's come in, and it's not just the fact of winning football games. There was a whole, as you can imagine, after 2 years of relegations, really, two successive relegations, there was a lot of negativity around the place, and Parky's come in along with the lads he's brought in, his coaching staff. He's brought positivity, and he's managed to turn the mindset of the football club around, which is no mean feat, really. Once you're on that slippery slope, it's hard to turn it around, and fair play to him. He's come in, and again, he's brought the right lads in terms of players as well as coaching staff. And like I say, there's been nothing but positivity. Obviously, results reflect that and help that. But mainly, that positive attitude just shone through the whole team. Now, like you say about the start we had, I think we've kept four or five players, and myself and Si Richmond, Sean Densmore, and I think that might be it. There was only four or five players maybe there, so you're looking at bringing 12, 13, 14 lads in, which isn't going to happen overnight. And we had an okay pre-season. We probably didn't hit the type of football that we really wanted to. We did it in patches. But the longer we've been playing together, the more it started to click a little bit, and everybody's realising what everybody's strengths and weaknesses are, and obviously we're trying to play to them as best we can, really. So yeah, like I say, long may that continue, really.
Yeah, I'm from a footballing perspective yourself, obviously six seasons at the club. Would you be as a player fearful with the likes of Parky coming in, changing the club around so fundamentally when he came in this season? We know you've played under some well-known managers over the last three or four seasons that hasn't worked for them. Were you fearful perhaps that you might be one of the players that was going to be released, or were you confident in your own ability to think that I'm good enough to stay here? And now you've proved that, obviously.
I think every player, when you're coming towards a contract time, I think a player would be lying to you if they weren't. If they were going to tell you they're okay with everything, because at the end of the day, no matter what amount of money you get, it helps towards obviously everything in your life, family and different things. So I think the player would be lying if they said they weren't worried. But on the same side, I'm confident in my own ability. Like you said, I've played under a few gaffers over the last few years. I mean, there was Sinnott, Neil Young. Obviously, we had Jim Harvey in. And,
all good managers.
Yeah, and I managed to keep my place, obviously, under all of those managers. I played all the games. I wouldn't say I was fearful, no. I'm confident in my own ability, most certainly. But I think, obviously, there's that element of it in there. If you're coming up towards the end of the season, you've not really talked, especially after two relegations, you've not really talked about the following season. But Ulster is a great football club, and I've loved my time there, to be honest with you.
And obviously FA Trophy, what's been your success in the FA Trophy over the years, Jake?
Not the greatest, if I'm honest. Not the greatest. I think we've done better in the FA Cup, to tell the truth, over the last few years. It's all true. If I'm honest, I aren't 100% sure how far we've got in the trophy. We haven't done particularly well over the years in the trophy that I've been there. The FA Cup, we've managed to get to the first round a few times. Then, whereas as regards to the FA Trophy, no, I don't think we have. We have got too far.
I know the gaffer obviously took Nantwich to the semis. I think a couple of seasons ago. Obviously a club like yours that's flying at the moment. You fancy a trip to Wembley in May?
Oh yeah, certainly. I think we've got the capabilities in the squad. I think a lot of people have seen that. We've got good individual players, and we apply that collectively as a unit. And to going out of the FA Cup in such a tragic way, really, the way we did, we're really obviously pinning our hopes, obviously, on the league, but also on the trophy. And obviously, I think it's a realistic chance to get to Wembley as well, which is a great thing. Obviously, the FA Cup's great, but how realistic it is to get to Wembley of a club of our size is probably not very realistic. So it's a realistic aim for us to get to Wembley. Like you say, Porky got there a couple of years ago got to the semis and wasn't far off getting through, I don't think. I think it was Halifax. I think they lost two in the end. But like I say, it's a realistic goal for us to get there. So, yeah, certainly.
Well, we wish you well this weekend in the trophy, and we'll be keeping an eye out on your league success as well. But thanks for talking to us, Jake. And hopefully you can enjoy a game sat on the sides and not get too emotional over it, and then get back playing again.
No, I never enjoy a game watching. Never enjoy a game watching, no. Thank you.
Take care. All the very best.
Cheers.
Swampy, they are a club on the rise, aren't they, Altrincham?
Yeah, I mean, look, their FA Cup exploits beating league clubs over the last 20 or 30, 40 years are well known in football circles. And, they're a club that they've achieved, you know, some great things, but they'll be looking certainly to move back into where they believe they should be this season, back into the National League North. And Parkinson, last season, as I said, I went to watch him and his team, several teams, that Spennymoor, who are doing great in this division, in the Northern, the National League North at the moment, and Nantwich last season were absolutely outstanding to watch. And he's taken that to Altrincham and shown the great quality that he possesses. He's a very calm manager. There's a duo on the bench. They work with each other, and they produce good quality football. The key moment this season for me, because things weren't going quite right, was the Whitby Town game. They looked, if they scored, they could go on and win a game. They just needed to win a game, and they did that, and they've not looked back since. They've got a big game, though, against Ramsbottom. Jerome Wright, who was FC United ex-captain and, you know, over 300 games for FC United and Manchester, went to Altrincham early in the season. Didn't quite work out for him or the club, so he's moved on to Ramsbottom. Ramsbottom have got a really, really good squad. And that is going to be a very, very tough game down there on Saturday for Altrincham. But they've got the quality, but equally Ramsbottom are going to be a very, very tough encounter. And I expect that maybe going to a replay or perhaps Ramsbottom on the day could actually pip them. But Moulty, listen to him. As I say, he's been there six seasons. He's had three or four managers, all top quality managers. He's managed to stay there. He's a good player. you know, because comes from good pedigree and good stock, and he's now learning a new way under a manager that I think personally could quite easily be managing in the National League North, the National League, and he may well in a few years to come. We've seen it with lots of our quality managers in this division and divisions below play managing league football teams because he's that good.
As you said, a big weekend for the clubs involved in the trophy this year, but it's a massive weekend for FA Cup competitions. That's Cup with a small C, because we've also got the FA Vars as well, second round proper. 64 clubs competing in this round with £900 a place in the next round, and also £300 to the losing sides in the FA Vars this season. Now, for one particular player, one person that's a stalwart of the game, who has shown dedication, that's what you need. And those of a certain era will remember my Roy Castle. They'll understand what I did there. But now, one of non-league's biggest characters is about to set a world record this weekend when he turns out for Wisbech Town in the FA Vars at Thetford. And I'm delighted to say that record-breaking goalkeeper extraordinaire, he's been called worse, I'm sure, in his time. I think I probably called him worse, but stood behind his goal at times. He's Paul Bastock, and he joins us on the line to tell us a bit more. Good evening, Paul. I'm good. How are you? I mean, how are you coping with all this fame? I'm surprised we were able to talk to you this week.
It's just gone absolutely crazy. I'm just in the bath now trying to get over last night.
I'm now pleased that we're not on FaceTime, because it could have been there. And even it's quite warm in the studio. I'm sweating up already now I've seen that vision.
I've only got a face for radio.
Now, for those that don't know, midweek you officially reached, I think it was 1,249 competitive career appearances to equal Peter Shilton's world record. Has Shilt been in touch?
He has tonight, yes. I spoke to a journalist today, and he asked if Peter Shilton had been in touch. I said no, and he said, right, he's got his number. So Justin Allen gave him a call for me, and 5 minutes later on, Peter Shilton's following me on Twitter. So what a day this has been for me.
Brilliant. Childhood hero, isn't he, one of yours?
Massively, yeah, definitely. I mean, I can remember getting the England jersey for Christmas and diving around in the park with jumpers with goalposts, pretending to be Peter Shilton. So to have him follow me on Twitter is just it's just another occasion of this week, which has just gone beyond my wildest dreams.
But I mean, you're joint record holders at the moment. You better make sure he hasn't asked for your address. I keep, you know, he might want to kidnap you ahead of Saturday. You might be in trouble there.
Well, funny enough, I had a car crash on Tuesday, and the centre forward last night tried to break my legs twice. I'm thinking, something going on here. The football club have just said they're going to wrap me in cotton wool now till Saturday.
That's quite a bit of cotton wool.
I'm trying to say I put a bit of timber on.
No. Whenever you've been in goal against my side or any side that I've been watching, Paul, you've always been the ultimate goalkeeper, because you can take plenty of banter, you give it plenty of it back, and then you always thank the fans afterwards when you walk off. And that's what a proper goalkeeper should do.
Well, I think that's the beauty. I mean, I think when you're playing, like, obviously Football League and, like, Premier League and that load, I don't think they get a chance to hear what individuals are saying and stuff like that. But when you drop into the depths of where I've been most of my career, it's great. You get banter from the fans, and like in the bar after, you get a chance to have a drink and a giggle. And I think that's why I've possibly become a bit of a character with away fans.
Paul, it's a shame, unfortunately, it's me answering this question rather than Dave Anderson, because obviously, you know, another famous goalkeeper to another. But the question I've got for you, Paul, is simply: Cambridge United, Bath City, Fisher Athletic, Kettering Town, Aylesbury United, Boston United, Scarborough, Dagenham and Redbridge, St Albans City, Rushden and Diamonds, St Albans City again, Boston United, Worksop Town, St Albans City, Royston Town, St Neots Town, Dunstable Town, Stamford, Corby Town and Wisbech Town. Which was your favourite game?
Let's
not forget the England National Game 11 that you played in as well.
Exactly. No. My favourite game would be obviously playing in the Football League for Boston against Bournemouth. But the most memorable game would be when we played away at Swansea and we went down to nine men. And it was the year we had 4 points deducted off us to start with. And we managed to claw a nil-nil out. It felt as if we'd won the World Cup going home that night.
The other question I would say is, I mean, is it only a goalkeeper could that play this many games for this many clubs? Is it pretty much impossible for an outfield player to do what you've been able to achieve? We know what Schultz achieved at the very highest level, and you know we know you started your career at Coventry City. You were there for two seasons at Coventry, but to last this long, I mean, from a goalkeeping perspective, do you have to prepare differently? Do you have to deal with the mentality of the game differently? Because you've probably been what seems to be through about three or four different eras of football where there was certainly no money, there was not a great deal of money in the game at the very beginning, and we're now in an era where there's millions and millions of pounds. But you've seen players come and go, players probably go into the Premier League and Football League, and you've continued to ply your trade. Is it for the love? Is it, and what is it about goalkeepers that allow you to keep this longevity?
Well, first of all, it's definitely been for the love, because I've never earned good money. I definitely agree that I can never see an outfielder overtaking what we've achieved in game time, because obviously the mileage they're covering and stuff like that. I had Glenn Jones on the phone to me last night, the ex-Everton number two with and Swansea. He's in Belgium at the moment helping the national team. He messaged me and just said, like, he'd love to have been able to stay on and play the amount of games he's done, but his body physically wouldn't let him. And I think if you think of the mileage what outfielders have to do, the goalkeepers, everybody thinks it's an easy life, but we train really hard during the week, and I invite anybody to come and do a session if they think it's easy. But on game time, generally, hopefully, if you've organised your team in front, you shouldn't have too much to do. So that gives us a chance long as we stay injury free to rack up these games.
So on Saturday, you've got this 1,250th match. Is there a big presentation before or after? A bit of red carpet? You got dancing girls?
I'd like the dancing girls. I don't think the wife would be too happy. I honestly don't know. All I know is that there's possibly going to be a guard of honour for me. And I know they're trying to get Peter Shilton obviously down, and hopefully the FA, but I don't know whether that's going to be possible.
Can I share something with you, though, Paul? You know, Wikipedia, that great site that everybody refers to in their school homework nowadays. It didn't exist when I was growing up, but on there, and there's been a fair few questions on various non-league forums as well this week, it says you've already hit 1,250 appearances and that they've missed out some of your clubs. So maybe you've already done it. And you don't need this bath today, and you don't need to turn up on Saturday.
You're kidding me. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's Saturday, and I'm going to really enjoy the occasion. Hopefully, first and foremost, is for us as a team, Wisbeach, to get through to the next round. And then, as I was going to retire a couple of weeks ago...
I think I've reported on you retiring about three or four times over my career.
Oh, definitely. But this is definitely 2-3 weeks ago. I pretty much got to a low ebb with football, and I thought maybe it's time to pack in. But the wife and Gary Setchell, the Wisbeach manager, said, "Are you crazy? You're this close." So in between that, I'd organised for my son's 21st birthday to go away this Wednesday coming. We're going away just father and son time for a bit of a week's golfing together, because that's what he's asked for his present. So I'm going to make sure when I'm away this week, we really well and truly celebrate my achievements and his 21st.
But that it's not the closing curtain, though, surely, is it? I mean, you did. I heard you were still like the cat jumping around even last weekend.
It's a good job I have lots of tape around me to do so. No, I've said I'm going to play to the end of the season. God willing that we do keep the momentum going in the league, what we're doing. We're 13 games unbeaten. And obviously, if we can aspire to get to Wembley in the Vars, then I definitely would be handing the gloves up on that note.
Have you ever had a chance to play at Wembley or get far in the Vars or Trophy?
It's the first year I've ever played in the Vars. It's normally the Trophy or the FA Cup. Sorry about that. My phone's just gone off. I got to visit the third round proper with Kettering against Blackburn in the FA Cup. That's the furthest I've got in the FA Cup. With Cambridge United, they went to Wembley in the playoffs, but in them days, they never had keepers on the bench or sat in the stand. So, no, I've never graced Wembley Field itself. I've walked on it with the lads, but never played on it. Closest I've been was with Coventry when they used to, when in my first year apprentice, when they did the five-a-side tournament at Wembley Arena, where all the pros go. And Oggy didn't fancy playing in it, because obviously he was 6'5" and I was a midget, so it made ideal for me to go and go win a five-a-side. And I can remember going to the toilet and standing next door to Tony Cotty and Frank McAvennin, just thinking, wow, I've arrived.
Some people, well, you've got a question, yeah?
Yeah, just a very quick one for me. I'm looking at the stats, and obviously it's incredibly impressive, but there's one stat I'm very disappointed. You played 1,250 games. You haven't scored.
No. I took a penalty once when Mal Sterling was manager because the lads were all missing him. I hit the crossbar. It came back past over me and went on the halfway line. And the closest I ever come was against Scarborough, where I caught a cross, which I don't do very often. Half-followed it. It cleared everybody on the pitch, bounced over the keeper and stopped on the line.
Oh, dear. Well, let's hope then on Saturday, you're 3-0 up with 5 minutes to go, you get a penalty, and you can actually cap it all by scoring your first goal, not hitting the crossbar, no pressure on you at all, 1,250 games in, and one goal.
And a big cigar after.
Oh, yes. I'll send you one down from Manchester for you. A nice Cuban Romeo and Julieta number two. If you score on Saturday, I promise
Churchill.
You, I'll send you one down. Or a Churchill. If you want Churchill, I'll sort you out a Churchill as well.
Brilliant.
See, all those things that you've just slightly missed out on, Paul, over the years, and now it's with the ultimate prizes within your grasp.
Score a goal?
Yeah, well, no, just to take something off of Swampy. I mean, it's very, it's. He might even buy you a beer, but I don't.
I'm quite happy to buy him a beer. So it's a long way to go, to be honest. But I'm certainly very happy to do that for a man. I mean, it really is a great story, isn't it? Simply because, you know, you've spanned, you know, a couple of decades, and to do that in football in terms. It is quite amazing, and you play to the end of the season. It's a record that will probably never, ever, ever be beaten, I would have thought, because the modern day footballer are so finely tuned, and you know, to fall out of love of the game, as you said yourself, you started to fall out of the love of the game earlier this season, but you've carried on, you've worked and worked and worked, and you know, the history books are yours. I mean, 501 games for Boston alone is a fantastic story in itself, but you've carried on, and a testament to you know, you as a goalkeeper and as a player, and whoever gets you at the end of it, hopefully you can utilise your experience as a goalkeeping coach, helping maybe youngsters or other clubs along the way.
Yeah, that would be absolutely fantastic. But the only thing is, I'm as thick as a brick, and you've got to have all this qualifications to be a goalkeeping coach. So the chances of that happening are very limited. About as much chance of me growing hair.
give me experience over certificates any day, mate. Well, it's been fantastic talking to you. We better let you get out of that bath, otherwise you'll be too crinkly to put your boots on Saturday.
I've gone freezing in here.
Well, I was just looking, you know, since you've gone to Wisbech, unbeaten, you know, clean sheets. I mean, you must be standing around on the Saturday anyway, aren't you?
Oh, mate, they're looking after me big time. I'm having a big fat Romeo on every week.
Well, hopefully on Saturday you'll get some action during the game, and plenty of attention pre-match and post-match as well. It's been great to talking to you again, and hopefully we'll talk to you very soon again.
Much appreciated. Thank you for your time, chaps.
Lovely talking to you, Paul. Take care of yourself, and good luck on Saturday.
Cheers, bud. Thank you very much. Take care.
Swampy, I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of meeting Paul, but he really is one of the great characters of non-league. When he loses his rag, he's quite funny, but there's lots of people that I know, that lots of goalkeepers that hold him in very, very high esteem. And he's always the sort of person that will always have a chat with players on the opposite side as they're coming off the field and, you know, sort of pass on some of that experience.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you know, you look at his stats, which are phenomenal, but you also look at the fact that he's not a choice goalkeeper in the world. He's 5'11", and he's played a good standard and a high level standard of football as well, and continues to do that, and he's still doing that to this day. It's testament to his fitness, his belief in the game, and you know, absolutely wonderful. And he does sound like a great character. And I would love to meet him, and I will. You know, if there's that possibility of the winning. There's a couple of cigars on the way down, so I might even drive down and present them to him as well, because you know, that's what football's all about. You know, and as he said, he's not a millionaire because of it. He's not even a rich man because of it. He's probably costing more money to be to do what he's been doing for the last 25 years than he's actually taken out of the game. And they're the footballing the heroes of the game, if you like heroes. They're the kind of heroes that you can look to. They're the kind of people you can go, you know what, I'd like to talk to that person about the game, because they have learned a great deal. And I know he said there, you know, from a footballing perspective, he doesn't have his badges. And I know also the footballing, goalkeeping badges are one of the hardest to actually do. He'd fly through them. And I would say do them, because he's got all that experience. That experience, he'll whiz through his badges, no problem at all, and then go on to really help other clubs, you know, and youngsters as well, because that experience is invaluable. It really is. And what a great guy. I would suggest probably not to doing an interview in the bathroom next time, though, because, you know, I'm sure he's pretty wrinkly, as we say, and very, very cold. And if he's not playing on Saturday due to being ill, he can't use this as an excuse.
We could be blamed for the world record never being broken ever in the history of football. It was all because Paul Bastock got stuck in the bath. Well, anyway, so that's FA Vars this weekend, as well as the FA Trophy. But away from the Cup, leagues up and down the country are beginning to take shape. And where that shape isn't going to plan, we report week in, week out on managerial changes. One we mentioned recently was the return of Eddie Pennock to the non-league fold, taking the role as manager at Barrow. And I'm delighted to say Eddie joins us on the line. And good evening, Eddie.
Good evening, gents. I'm not in the bathroom, that's for sure.
Well, that's good. We just had Paul Bastock, and he was talking to us from the bath. It was a little bit echoey, we were just trying not to think about the visuals that might have been taking place as well.
I wasn't thinking of anything at all, I can tell you.
Well, I could make a comment on that, but I won't. So anyway, obviously, we know you from your time at Forest Green and Welling in non-league, but Barrow, that's quite a long way away, certainly in terms of mileage. Have you had to relocate? I mean, how's that all working?
We train at Rochdale, so we don't actually train at Barrow. So obviously my family live in Kent. So I think they'll be pleased to see Dad move on to another job again. And I think they're doing cartwheels behind the scenes. I think they've had enough of Dad being at home. I'll be relocating myself. My family will be staying in Kent, and then similar to what I've done at Forest Green and when I was at Stoke, I'll be staying up all week and then going back after games on a Saturday. But we train in. So I'll be based in Manchester, and obviously we go up to Barrow just for the home games.
Obviously, we've spoken quite a lot about Barrow. Now, there's been a couple of changes already. And how did you apply for the job? Were you approached? Or?
Well, yeah, it was funny because an agent called me and said, oh, would I be interested in going back to the National League? And I said, of course I would be. And then it went from there, really. And I met Andrew and a couple of directors before the Ebbsfleet game. They played Ebbsfleet away. Had a meeting with them for a good 2 or 3 hours, which went really well. Then I went up to watch them on the Tuesday at Chester. Then they called me on a Wednesday and obviously spoke to Paul in America as well, Paul Casson. And they said they would like to offer me the job, blah, blah, blah. So went up on the Friday and then obviously had the game against Aldershot on the Saturday. So it happened very quickly. But I was very, you know, Andrew really sold me the club, his ambitions or the project that they've got. And I'm really enjoying it. I've been in a job for 2 weeks now, it helped obviously winning against Aldershot.
I was going to say, you mentioned the game and just brushed over that bit. You know, a 3-1 win against Aldershot. That's not a bad start, is it?
No, I'll take that. Yeah, I know. And we didn't have a game this weekend, so I am undefeated in 2 weeks, so I'm well happy with that. I keep telling everybody that. But an excellent start to the manager. But it was a tough game. But obviously, we all know Aldershot are a very good side. And obviously, then we've got Maxfield on Saturday again, who are doing very, very well, a very good footballing side. So it'll be another good test for us.
So without that game at the weekend, has that given you a bit more time with the lads to get to know them and sort of understand what you can get out of them?
Yeah, most definitely. And they've been working hard for the 2 weeks. They lost to Shore Lane in the FA Cup. But an ideal world, obviously, of course, we'd like to stay in the FA Cup. But it's worked out well, really, where I've come in and then had a few days with them. And obviously, they get to know me and I get to know them individually as well as collectively. And getting things behind the scenes, right? You know, obviously, we're trying to get it right on the pitch. But also, it's really important to get it right off the pitch as well. So, we're doing things properly. So, it's been a good, very good 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think you brought in a very, very experienced fitness coach in Lindsay Davis. And this week, the return of Grant Holt as a player and a coach. Are there still more to add to your team as well?
I'd like to. I don't want to rush into things. These two are a priority. Lindsay Davis, like you said, is very experienced. He's been here and everywhere. A really nice fella as well, hard working and honest. Very pleased to get on board. And obviously with Grant Holt coming in today, and obviously meet the players, and it's an excellent sign. And obviously a Barra legend. It'll bring a wealth of experience to the young boys, and obviously, you know, he'd like to go on the coaching side of it as well. So I'm very pleased to get him on as a player coach, and to be fair, you know, fair play to Paul and Andrew, you know, for backing me on this, because I was really keen to getting these two on board, and they have, so I'm very pleased.
And you've got this Q&A this Friday with the fans. Always, as a new manager, it's always good to get the fans on side. But is it important for you to manage their expectations? Sounds like you're getting on well with the board, but it's, you know, you've got to manage everybody's expectations as a manager as well.
Yeah, you have, and it is small steps. You know, we're still in relegation. Obviously, we had a cracker win against Aldershot, and reality-wise, you know, we're still in the relegation zone. So it's small steps. You've got to take one game at a time. That's a born old cliche, but I think where we it's unusual, obviously, where we're training in Rochdale, and obviously we haven't got that connection with Barra, so to speak. You know, the supporters and the community up there. But even last Friday, we went up to the football club, and there was like 150 children from the schools around the area. We'd done a little open training session, so you know that went down really well. And also, like I said, on Friday we'll have a Q&A session with me, Grant, and Lindsay tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the stadium. So again, you know, I think it's just that everyone's got to be singing off the same hymn sheet, and we're all in it together. We want one thing, we want success for Barrow, so it's important that we're all together on that.
AD, it's Swamp here from FC Radio, and first of all, congratulations on the appointment. It's a pity that you've taken the job the last 2 weeks, because obviously the FC job has been up, so you know, you never know, you might have been the new FC United of Manchester manager, but not to be. But I do know the history of Barrow, primarily over the last maybe 5 or 10 years. Training either in Manchester, now in Rochdale. A couple of questions, really. And the first one is based upon, obviously, your knowledge of football from a professional, league perspective, and then as a manager, he's been primarily in the south of England. So what preparation have you brought in to be able to scout more northern players, let's say, that, you can utilise rather than the hotbed of talent that's in the south of the country?
Well, I was very fortunate. I was in Stoke for 6 years with Tony Pulis, also youth coach, and then first in coach with Tony at Stoke. So the connection with all the northern clubs, I've still got, obviously, the Manchester clubs. And obviously, well, as you know, there's a massive connection, a lot of clubs around the area. So I'm very lucky there, and I've kept in contact, and already I've touched base with a lot of clubs up north. So... But I'm football's a small community, as we know. But I I'm very fortunate. I was up in Stoke for 6 years and got some very good contacts. So, yeah, that's where. And obviously, in the non-league scene, you know, I think the National League is like the Division 3, I'll be totally honest with you. There's full-time clubs now, and it's a very good league. I don't think there's a massive difference in Division 2, but from top to bottom of the country, I've got some good contacts, so I'm very fortunate in that way.
Yeah, and the next question, really, and I don't like to be controversial, but I suppose this question may sound a little bit controversial. You talk about Mr. Grant Holt joining the football club. We were only 2 weeks ago talking to the manager at Kings Lynn. Really happy and pleased that Grant had come along and come on board down there. Is there any controversy around it? I know there was a couple of statements that were made in the last week or so, maybe out of your hands more than anything else, saying that he had joined, then he hadn't joined, and then they weren't happy with the statement that had been made. Do you want to just clear up the situation for us in that regard? Because obviously we've spoken to yourself this evening, and obviously we've spoken to the manager only a couple of weeks ago.
Well, all I'd say is that we've done nothing wrong. We've done everything by the book. And if people know me in the football world, then they know that I'm very honest. And so we haven't got nothing to answer for, I promise you now. We've done everything right. But people say what they say, and we just got to get on with it, you know. With Paul and Andrew, and myself, I mentioned about what you're talking about, obviously what Kings and Chairman said. But I said, but just don't reply, because we know we've done things right, and that's it. Let it ride. That's basically fair, let it ride. It's not getting any confrontation, and now I think that's the best way forward.
Fair enough. I live in the Manchester area. I've got a good friend, actually, he's from Barrow. He's a big Barrow supporter. He goes up as when he can. He works at a very good venue for tickets. So if you need any, just let me know. I'll be able to sort you out. As he now knows you're living in Manchester as well. But Paul Catton has got a vision, hasn't he? He's had a big vision for a number of years now. We know that he's a man with a lot of money, but he hasn't used it willy-nilly. So he's the club, as you say, are training primarily either in Rochdale, before that in Manchester. But they are trying to do a lot of work within the community. It's fundamentally been a rugby town for many, many years, but Barrow themselves as a club are getting bigger and stronger in that community thing. So there's a lot of work for you to do. With training, obviously, in Rochdale, how often do you expect yourself to be up there apart from on match days? Are you going to be up there as much as you can, working, as you said earlier on, with younger kids and so on and so forth?
Yeah, definitely. Whenever we can, really, I'll be honest with you. I think it's very, very important, you know. And to be fair to Paul and Andrew, Cassin, they, you know, when these, I think it was about 150 children up there last Friday, and they gave them a ticket each, a scarf each. And you know what it's like, you know, they'll be taking mum and dad over there, or mum or dad, one or the other, or both.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not a free ticket. You know, in a way, obviously, it is a great gesture, but, you know, as we all know, you know, they'll want... They want a drink and a program, or whatever, and then hopefully they'll really enjoy the game on Saturday and then come again, you know. But I think it's really, really important, obviously, because where we are based in Rochdale, I got there, obviously, and obviously players will be going up there as well, and hopefully going to school assemblies on a Friday or whenever, you know. There's a rota going around as we speak, that hopefully that will happen, because I think it's very important, because we're obviously where we're based and training. In the training ground, but it's very important. Like I say, it's something that I'll definitely have looked into. And then on the rugby side of things, I had that similar to Forest Green. I'll be honest with you. You know, when we first turned up at Forest Green, people saying, "Well, this is a rugby area," blah blah blah. But look where they are now. You know, they've done unbelievably well. I'm very chuffed there in the Football League, you know, doing really well. So, you know, and the people saying, "Well, this is a rugby area," which it is. But we turn them round, and that's what I want to do here, turn these round. And hopefully, but first thing first, we've got to get out of the relegation zone and then take one game at a time. But you know, with everybody on board, like I say, the fans are absolutely top draw. You know what it's like going to Barrow. It's a very tough place to go.
Oh, yes.
And with the wind and the rain, obviously. But more importantly, the fans. The fans are very passionate and vocal. So, and that's what we need. You know, we need them on our side, that's for sure.
Well, it certainly looks like you're throwing yourself full into the project. You don't see Mourinho doing that at Man United at the moment, do you?
I don't think. Well, even yesterday, obviously.
You're
well,
on the same well, well,
I'll tell you what I was doing yesterday. I was sitting in a laundrette yesterday in Rochdale, and I don't think Mourinho would be doing that. I think you've got to. I think you've got to give everything. And that is the only way I work anyway, you know, whatever job I do, be it whatever, foot manager or something else. I have to give it everything, and otherwise I'll be cheating my employers, and that's what I'll be doing here. That's for sure. I'll be giving it everything for Barrow Football Club.
Yeah, that job title of first team manager never really sort of goes all the way for a non-league manager, does it? You've got to have your hands in everything that the football club's doing, because it's going to benefit you on the pitch, as you say. And
most definitely.
Meeting with the fans is your next job up on Friday, and we wish you well with that. But it's been fantastic talking to you again, AD.
Yeah,
you
know, I appreciate that.
We wish you success, because you are one of the nice guys in non-league, and it's great to have you back in the fold.
Very kind of you. Thank you very much. And I wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Swampy, AD mentioned the Forest Green experiment that he was part of, and then obviously he stepped away, and they made it to the Football League. Do you think there's an opportunity to do the same with Barrow?
I think Barrow's a very, very interesting football club in the respect of, as you say, the previous managers have never lived in the area. Everyone's trained outside of the area. I would say it's probably one of the most difficult jobs in football, because as much as you try and ingratiate yourself within the community, as much as you try and do the work, if you're not living there, the vast majority of players aren't from the area. It's very, very difficult to be able to get that real understanding. And I know managers have done very well there in the past, but I just think it's very, very hard. It's a lovely part of the world. It's a long, long trek to go to. I just think sometimes perhaps if they could have the footballing quality a bit more local to them, let's say, or they could utilise, I mean, even say Newcastle, which is a fair way, Carlisle's a fair way. They're just in that area where, you know, to be where they are in football is testament to them, and they're having to utilise all the Northwest based players primarily. But having Grant there, Grant Holt coming in there and helping out, I think it's a tall order. I think the stability for this season, try and get them outside the relegation, outside of that spot and getting the mid-table, I think that would be a happy season for them. And I think at some stage, it's a club that maybe, you know, I don't know. I think you might have to go and live there. I think eventually. I think it's a tough one. But from Ipswich all the way to Barrow is a big, long thing. And to be away from your family as well. I mean, you talked about Mourinho. Mourinho has been away from his family. And he said if he had been in that laundrette, it's not a surprise his face would be as gloomy as it has been in recent times, watching the washing going round, because it's a lonely job. And if you're without your family, and as AD says, he's going to be without his family and he's moved up to the north, it's a tough, tough ask, because, you know, when things aren't going right, you can go home, you get an arm put around you by your wife or by your partner, your kids will rally around you. If you haven't got that, they're on the end of a phone. It's a lonely, lonely job. It really is. So good luck to him. Good luck to Barrow this season. And it'll be interesting. He's certainly got the pedigree and the quality to move the club forward, and we wish him all the very, very best.
Well, the Barrow situation, it certainly sounds a bit more stable than it did at the start of the season, so that's certainly a good thing. But right, rounding off this week, we wanted to mention the England C's trip to Slovakia. They had the final of the International Challenge Trophy that took place on Wednesday night in Slovakia, and to tell us about it just hours after he's landed back in the UK is the non-league paper's John Couch. Good evening, John.
Good evening, how are you?
Yeah, good. I mean, how's you? It's been an exciting week. You've probably picked up what's probably the best job in non-league journalism, isn't it? Travelling abroad in style with England. I'm sure, you know,
yeah,
no expenses
like
spared. I know what the non-league paper budget's like, you know.
Yeah, I think I picked up a good one this week. My colleague Matt Badcock usually does for the England sea trips, but he's away on holiday with his family. So, you know, he asked John, would you fancy stepping into my shoes and going to Slovakia? And no brainer. It was a great week. Really, really enjoyable week. Result aside, the result was a little bit disappointing. But Slovakia are a very, very good side. And I think the guys come back on the plane with us today, and they still had their heads held high. It was it was a very worthwhile week and one that they can all take a lot of experience and knowledge from.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the result. It wasn't the best of nights for the England seaside, but Blyth Spartans' Andrew Cartwright was sent off. I think even the consolation that you thought that they scored was ruled out for offside, and it ended up 4-0. But you say that they would have learnt stuff from it, though.
Very much so. I mean, for 35 minutes, they were in the game. They were very much in the game. I thought Slovakia started the brighter, and then England City got themselves back into it. They had a couple of chances. The goal was a little bit of a lapse in concentration at the back, but they were still in it. And then, of course, 2 minutes later, they conceded a penalty, which proved to be another escape. They hit the bar with a penalty, and then 2 minutes from that, the red card, and that changed everything. But it managed to get to half time. They regrouped at half time, and they spoke by all accounts for a good 5-10 minutes, just to sort of about keeping it tight for the first 5-10 minutes of the second half, and you know, not giving anything away. And lo and behold, 56 seconds into the second half, it's 2-0, and with arguably the goal of the game, actually, it wasn't anything that England see. Could have done with it. It was an excellent goal, and then it was a case of damage limitation, I'm afraid. When they got the third, about 5 minutes later, I feared for them. I really did fear for them. But all credit to them, they really, really did give it their all, and they had some chances. They really did have 2 point blank headers. Jack Powell missed a 25-yard rasper by inches. The goalkeeper has made a couple of good saves from Morgan Ferrier, so that they really were in the game. In the meantime, they got a fourth Slovakia, and they say right at the end the killer blow when everyone thought they'd scored, because the Wi-Fi was down. So I had my head down tweeting the goal, and I didn't realise that it had been chalked off, because everyone around me was Slovakian, so no one communicated.
Slovakian
with me,
Slovakian was, is not a big language then within the NLP offices nowadays.
Not really, no. But so that was a sort of almost comical way of sort of end of the game. But they were lucky; they deserved that goal. Just for their efforts, really. I mean, they were playing against
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, England C is non-league's finest under-23, isn't it? I think that's the way it normally works. But they were up against Slovakia's proper under-23s, weren't they? They were selected from their very finest. Looking at your tweets, what the players from Benfica, Sampdoria, Lille, Wolves. I mean, it's like playing in the FA Cup, really, isn't it? Sort of against a third round.
It was, in fact, it was even worse than Paul Fairclough had predicted. I was speaking to Paul in the week, and he had videos of their last five games. They played this was their fifth game in the last 2 months, and they'd used the same 18 players in those five games. And so he knew who was going to be playing. And then the night before, he got word that they were actually bringing in some of the guys who were formed part of their successful team last year as well. So his preparations really were sort of dented in the last minute, and some of these guys that come in were sort of top talents, as you say, Benfica and Sampdoria, Aalborg, and it was just, they were a good team. But I mean, there wasn't one England player that got in that plane today with their head down. Not even Andrew Cartwright. I spoke to Andrew Cartwright, and the squad were very good with him. They've put their arm around him, and he'll be fine. He's learned from the experience. It was just a good experience all round. Great week, great company, and the boys there have made friends for life.
Swampy, question.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's fair to say that England see the vast majority of teams they play against nowadays are full-time, playing for big clubs, opposed to sort of like playing the semi-professional game as the England C teams are. The question, it's probably an unfair question, really. And again, maybe a little bit of controversy as my last question to our previous guest. But what I did notice within the team squad, there was only two players from the north of England within the actual starting 11. And I think within the entire squad, I think it was four, maybe five total out of all the squad that were from the north. Is that something that maybe needs to be addressed, or is it fair to say that the players that are in there which are predominantly from the south and maybe from the Midlands and down, are worthy of their places. And the north is still needs to maybe just get a grip a little bit more and bring some more talent through.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I do know that Paul had to juggle a few places around with players going down with injuries, etc. But one of those players that he did bring in last minute was Andrew Cartwright, who obviously who come from Blythe. So yeah, it was noticeable. I must admit, when you've got big clubs such as sort of Tranmere, Chester, Wrexham, all up there in the north with no representation, it was a bit of an eye opener. But I don't think there was anything sinister in it. It was quite strange. Maybe sort of having southern based players in and around the camp, this may have helped the camaraderie a little bit more. But it was quite noticeable that you know there were big clubs, Macclesfield, you know, they're flying at the moment as well, in the National League. And but again, so are Dover, and there was no one from Dover there. So yeah, I don't think it was there was sort of anything sinister in that. I think it was maybe just the way that way it rolls. I mean, Paul's been doing the job 14 years, and he's had plenty of success with players from up and down the country at various different clubs, and
of course,
promoting them through. You know, you look at Andre Gray and the likes. But yes, it was noticeable, but it's difficult to say as to the reason why, or if indeed there was a reason.
It might be an unfair question to ask you. Maybe it's a question for Paul, perhaps, rather than yourself. But, I mean, finally for myself, I mean, I you know, we're looking at the quality of the opposition, and it obviously helps the England C team and the players that get great experience from these games. And they've done very, very well in the past. They've exceeded expectations on many occasions. And a lot of these players have got on and had, you know, decent careers. Is it time, though, that we maybe, you know, had an under-25s or under-27s instead of just keeping it at a certain level? Because when, as Tim's alluded to, you know, there's teams from, you know, players from Milan, there's players from, you know, internationally renowned football clubs playing against you. You're pitting your wits against them. But it's going to get to a stage where it's going to be a no contest. So is it a stage where we maybe let more established players within the semi-professional game up to, say, 28 years of age be part of this setup, opposed to just younger, youthful players?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And it was something that we discussed in the team hotel after the game last night, because the old England non-league team, back in the days of the old Four Nations, there was no age restriction. So, they would go down. It was literally the best non-league team from England would pit their wits against the other three home nations. I think there was a case, obviously with Slovakia being so strong yesterday, I think there was a case that could happen again this time round. The reason they changed it initially was and made it an under-23s event was obviously to try and help the young players come through. And I think that's very honourable. But I mean, also, I think it would help guys who have come out of the Football League, maybe lost their way a little bit at the age of 24, 25. They're still in their prime, can still help push their way sort of back into the Football League. And I think, an England C-cap would be for tremendous them as well. But, yeah, I think it's a good point. I mean, apparently next March there's talk that they're going to play the Welsh Premier League. It's the 25th anniversary of the Welsh Premier League next year, and there is talk that they're possibly going to get an England versus Wales clash going there. I think personally, because that wouldn't be a capped international, I think it would be a great opportunity to maybe expand it a little bit, and increase the age range to sort of 28 to allow these guys the opportunity to play for England and maybe revitalise their careers.
That's good to hear, because obviously in previous seasons we've discussed about, you know, maybe England C being disbanded completely. I think when the FA suggested it you know, they were going to pull funding and that sort of thing. I mean, you look at the FA website and the England C team haven't got their own section anymore. They, you know, games like this appear under the new section. So it's sort of taking a back seat. So it's good to hear that, you know, there are plans to at least keep things going. You know, whoever's playing in that side, it's got to benefit them and then benefit the clubs that they then go back to. Because it's like anything. If you go to a concert or you go to the FA Cup final or something like that, as a fan, you gain from that and then you can pass on that experience to other people. So, you know, that England C cap, is, you know, it's vital to certain players and certain clubs. And you say, you know, for their own morale and self-esteem.
Oh, very much so. There were 16 players in that team hotel yesterday when they received their England caps, who were beaming from ear to ear. Didn't matter what the result was, they had that dark blue cap, and they proudly put it on their heads. They might have looked a little bit silly in the hotel, but they didn't care. They were very, very proud to have that cap. And I spoke to most of them afterwards, and they're chomping at the bit, sort of in a bid to impress the selectors and go back again next time, because they enjoyed the experience so much. But I do think there's scope to increase the age range, especially when you've got the likes of what Slovakia showed us last night, that they have that firepower that we didn't really have. Although that said, the boys put up a great effort, and I think some of the Slovakians we were talking to, they couldn't believe that these were fifth and sixth tier players. You know, that they countless people asked us, "Oh, are these guys from second division or third division?" No. These are five and six, and they were shocked. They couldn't quite believe it, and it wasn't actually that much between the teams, and the amount of people that turned out, 2,200 capacity. We had about 100 kids come down and watch them train. You know, these guys were held in high esteem, and they enjoyed every minute of it. They really did.
Well, it sounds like you did as well. So you better get into that office in the morning before Matt gets back and sort of block him out. Send him on holiday when the next game is, so you can go and follow him again.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Tim, I suggest that we do a show from there. To be honest, the next England away game, I think you, me, and John, we can all go down there and enjoy.
We can take the campers for a trip, couldn't we?
Yeah. We can.
The world's hospitality. Yeah.
Great to talk to you, John. You better go and get your smalls out of your dirty case. And now you've got the you'll have plenty of features to write before the weekend, I'm sure. So
Alex Neary's got me. He's got me in plenty. He thinks I've had enough as a jolly as it is. So I've got some work to do.
Right, best of luck. Thanks for joining us again, John. And speak to you soon. Dad. Cheers, him. Bye bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Swampy, well, we sort of run out of time again. We when it's you and I, we just flow, don't we? So that's pretty much it for this week. I better say thank you to Swampy. Thanks to all our guests, and of course,
you're very welcome.
Everybody that's listened as well. Hopefully there were some. You know, more people listen than turn up. Anyway, that's a good thing. don't forget, it is Remembrance Weekend this weekend. So please do observe the minute silence at your game with the respect that it does deserve. Give generously to any collections. Remember just how lucky we are to be able to choose where we want to go and watch the beautiful game week in, week out. You can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And if you want to put the podcast on your own website, check out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com, where you can grab an embeddable player for free. Thank you and good night.
JIBBA JABBA Production. JIBBA JABBA.